Okay, we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lachsan and Leila Nishpas Shekhlo, Karen's Aliyah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yoshua ben Shimon Dov, and Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are up to a new Mishnah. Just for the sake of A, review, B, we'll see a later commentary who's going to tie this into the previous Mishnah. We're just going to briefly read Mishnah 10, and then we're going to focus on Mishnah 11. So source number one here, Pirkei Avos chapter 3, Mishnah 10, is what we did last week. Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus Omer, Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus says, Sheina shel shacharis, v'yayin shel tzaharayim, v'sichas yiladim, v'yeshivas batei kenasiyos shel amei ha'aretz. So these things, sleeping late, drinking in the middle of the afternoon, talking too much to kids or young people, people who don't have life experience, sitting in the gathering places of people who are wasting time. These things all remove us or remove people from the world. So for our purposes now, we're not going to go through each list, each of the things on the list. That was last week. But they remove people from the world, presumably this world and not the next world, although we debated that last week. For our purposes today, we're going to assume it means this world. And we're now going to contrast that to the next Mishnah, which is explicitly going to mention the next world. Okay? So, Mishnah we're focusing on today, Mishnah 11. Rabbi Lazar Hamodai Omer. Rabbi Lazar Hamodai says the following. Hamechalel es hakachim. So number one, somebody who profanes things that are sacred. We'll have to understand what exactly that's talking about. Number two, hamevaza es hamoados. If somebody embarrasses or slights the festivals. Number three, v'hamalbin pnei chavero berabin. Somebody who embarrasses his friend in public. Number four, v'hamefer briso shel Avram avinu alav hashalom. Somebody who denounces, nullifies the covenant of Avram. And somebody who explains the Torah not according to the halacha. So these, how many were there? Five, I believe. These five things, if you do, presumably one of these five, not all of these five, Kabachomer, all of these five, if you do one of these five things, what's your judgment? Well, first we even have a more extreme part. You could be the greatest person in the world in other areas. You can be a Talmud Chacham. You could be a Baal Chesed. But you do one of these, Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. You have no share in the world to come. Oh, Yisrael, Yisrael chelek l'olam haba. Right? So it's the same question we had last week. Doesn't everybody have a share in the world to come? Well, apparently not. Right? These are explicit categories of people who do not, and this isn't even an exhaustive list. There's more ways to not get it. All right? So, it's not true. We don't all have. Most of us have. Maybe we have to lose it. Maybe we have to earn it. Okay, we could debate that. We don't fully understand these topics. But to the extent that this Mishnah should be taken at face value, it means that we have no share at all in the world to come if we do these things. Okay. So what are these things? That's one question we're going to ask. What are each one of these referring to? Are these things supposed to be sort of like a close reading that it means these things? Or is it supposed to be sort of examples and elaborative categories of things that we shouldn't be doing? So that's another thing we're going to keep in mind. And then in the background is how bad are these things? Why are these things so bad? And why is the quote-unquote punishment so extreme in contrast to other statements or other bad things that don't necessarily say explicitly you don't have a share in the world to come? And along the way, we'll see some pretty fascinating discussions. So let's jump in to source number two. Source number two, before we read it, let's ask ourselves another question. This is a question that hopefully should at least be in the back of our minds, if not at the front of our minds. What is Pirkei Avos all about? We've referred to this numerous times. What's Pirkei Avos all about? Who's it written for? For us, but who's us, hopefully? People who are aspiring for piety, right? Who wants to learn Chassidus, who wants to be pious? learn Pirkei Avos. This is a pretty intense list of people who are probably not reading Pirkei Avos, right? So why are we even putting this in here? How did this get in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos if this is just, you know, pretty extreme behavior that isn't mainstream, isn't people who are going to be aspiring, people who are learning, people who want to do better? Why is this Mishnah here? It seems out of place for a tractate that presumes that we're trying to, you know, there's some level of minimum aspiration of piety. So source number two is going to pick that up. The Rashbatz says as follows: Rebelazar Modai Omer HaPerish Zos HaMishnah Hiviua BeGemara BePerek Acharon MiSanhedrin. So we might not have known this, but we'll know it now because we're going to do it inside in a second. This whole concept is already in a different Gemara. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin deals with this and almost overlaps verbatim to this concept of this Mishnah. Visham hu mekoma. Now the Rashbatz argues that it's there that is the actual place that this discussion should be taking place, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What's the Gemara in Sanhedrin there? What's the context of that parak in Sanhedrin? It talks about people who have a chelik in Olam Haba and people who don't have a chelik in Olam Haba. So that's the real ideal place that this discussion should be had. So if that's the case, why is it mentioned here in Pirkei Avos? So he says as follows: Ki so sham hu mekoma ki oso parak chover b'misha ein lo chelik l'olam haba. That parak deals with those who do not have a share in the world to come. L'fisha ba'oso mesachta huskar ki haruge beisdin hamisvadin yeshlam chelik l'olam haba. Because the whole concept in there, the discussion, the jumping point is that we're talking about Sanhedrin. That's the, you know, the people who are judging. And then let's say you're judging somebody to death penalty. So do people who have the death penalty get a share in Olam Haba? Do they? Yes, assuming that they do some level of confession, tshuva. What? If they admit they did wrong and they regret it, etc. So they do get a share in the world to come. So that's the context there. The Ein Zos Mishnasan Shel Chasidim. This isn't applicable to our Masechta. Why is he talking about it here? This has nothing to do with piety. This has to do with people who aren't getting a share in the world to come. Elam Mishnas Hamordim Vaposhim. So people who are rebellious and sinners. V'lama Nechtavakan. Why is it written here? So what's the answer? Lahazir Ha'adam Ha'chasid Ha'mochiach Ba'ale Averos. She'izar Shlotie Tochachto Mitzvah Ababa Avera. The whole reason this is cited here is because there is something that somebody who is pious might fall into a trap on. And what is that? I'm so pious, I have to rebuke everybody. What? Okay. So starting point, he says that if pious people could run into the trap that I have a mitzvah of tochacha, I have an obligation to rebuke people who are doing things bad. Look how great I am. They're so bad, I have to rebuke them. Right? And that thought process on its own is a mitzvah. Hocheach tochia. Right? Not to say I'm so great and they're so bad, but you know, I should rebuke them. So because of that, we have to say, v'losis alav chet, as the pasuk says, that you can't bear a sin when you rebuke somebody. What does that mean? When I rebuke somebody, I have to make sure not to embarrass them. Hamalvim pnei chaveru barabim. You're so bad, I'm going to embarrass you in front of everybody. I, as the pious person, now don't have a share in the world to come. So the message is for pious people, because there's a danger that they could fall into, is that they can embarrass somebody in public when giving them rebuke. And now, your question is, okay, so that's one of them. Okay, so that's the weakness of the argument, if you will. Because he's saying, because this one thing, we're bringing in everything else, even though technically this isn't the right place for it. Right? So we're copying and pasting from a different place where it's a central place in order to teach us a lesson here about pious people that they should be very careful not to embarrass people in public when rebuking them. Okay, so now let's go and understand and see that Gemara inside. That Gemara is based off of the Pasuk in source number 3. The Pasuk in source number 3, Bamidbar 15:31, the Pasuk says, Ki Devar Hashem Baza. He despised the word of the Lord. Ves mitzvah so hefer, and he has broken the commandments. So somebody who does these things, which isn't—it's not explicitly what he did. It sounds like a broad, general statement. Somebody who doesn't follow the ways in Hashem. He kares ti kares hanefesh ahi avonah ba. This soul shall surely be cut off. his iniquity shall be upon him. So that's our jumping off point. That's our pasuk. The Gemara is going to darshan. It's going to take each section of that pasuk and say it's referring to something or somebody else. Tanu Rabbanan, source number 4, Sanhedrin 99a. Ki davar Hashem baza mitzvaso hefer, hikares tikares. Zeha omer, this is referring to somebody who says, ein Torah min hashamayim. The Torah doesn't come from God. Davar acher, another interpretation. Ki davar Hashem baza, what does it mean that you are despising the word of Hashem? That's referring to ze apikoros. I actually think we saw this Gemara when we did the Mishnah that talks about apikorosis in a few months ago. Davar acher, this part we didn't do. Ki davar Hashem baza, what is that referring to? Ze hamegale panim b'Torah. That's somebody who, what does that mean? Gives an interpretation of the Torah. This is in parallel to what says in our Mishnah, is hamegale panim b'Torah shelo kalacha. So I'm interpreting the Torah in an inappropriate, incorrect fashion. That is davar Hashem baza. That's somebody who is embarrassing or despising the words of Hashem. Ves mitzvah so hefir. The next part of the pasuk is referring to zeha mefir bris basar, somebody who's embarrassed or doesn't follow through on the covenant with Abraham, meaning the regular bris milah. Hikares tikares. So hikares is referring to ba'olam hazeh. In this world, he gets cast off. And tikares is lo'olam haba. And getting cast off in the next world is the second tikares, because it's repetitive. Remember, psukim in general, the Chazal, Midrash, and Gemaras like to look at every part of a pasuk and say, if it's there, it must be teaching me something additional. So even though hikares tikares, you can read, he shall surely be cut off. For us, for Chazal, we're going to say, no, each one's referring to something else. Hikares is referring to this world. Tikares is referring to the next world. So the Gemara now says, Mikan Amar Belazar Amodai. So it's from this context, or Belazar Amodai, the person we just read in our Mishnah, says, Amachal Azakachim, Amavaz Azamoados, Vameser Briso Shalav Ravinu, Vamegal upon a Betorah Shalokalach, Vamal Bim Pnecha Beiro Berabim, Alpha Pishish Beyond the Torah, Maisim Tovim, Ain Lochelak Lolam Abba. So it is the jumping off point of this Pasuk that Rabbi Lazar Amodai is sourced in this Pasuk, says that you have no share in the world to come, because these are all indicative, presumably, of somebody who's despising, embarrassing, throwing away, casting away the words of Hashem.
Disparaging.
Good word. Okay. Rashi here in source 5 ties these two together and tells us, when we're reading Perkei Avos, Rashi in his commentary on Perkei Avos says, make sure you know that this is a reference to this Gemara in Sanhedrin. And then Rashi goes through each one and basically gives a general interpretation, which we'll go through quickly and just think about, because we're not going to spend too much time on each one of these five things. Right? So let's just, we'll go through, what do you think Mechalel Es HaKadshim means? Mechalel Es HaKadshim. So it could be a reference to korbanot, right? Just sacrifices. Somebody who isn't careful with sacrifices. Maybe he does something that makes the sacrifice puzzle, that it's invalid. I can't be able to bring it. So somebody who does that, that's not a chelek lam haba, which is pretty intense, right? What does that mean? So think about what? Somebody, maybe a person who eats the sacrifice where he's not supposed to eat the sacrifice. Somebody who doesn't take sacrifices seriously. And does something inappropriate because of that. Again, we still need to think about, why is that so bad that I don't get a chelek in Olam Haba? It's a mitzvah, okay, but there are lots of mitzvahs. Not every mitzvah that I don't take seriously do I not get a chelek in Olam Haba. So keep that in mind. What about Malbin Es Pnei Chavero? Sorry, Mevazes HaMoados. What do you think that means? Mevazes HaMoados? You're not elevating the Kedusha of what?
Of
the holidays. So look at Rashi here, source 5 I just alluded to, by Mevaza, Chilel Cholo Shel Moed, Basias Malacha. We're not talking about actual holidays. We're not talking about Yom Tov, we're talking about Chol HaMoed. Oshenog ben minan chol b'achilo b'shtia d'hoel v'eino chomurim ki Yom Tov eino choshe shel shomram. Because you think, oh, Yom Tov I'll take seriously. Yom Tov's a real holiday. Chol HaMoed, I don't care, I'm going to go to Disney, I'm going to go to whatever. Not that that's not the problem. But I mean, I'm not going to take it seriously, I'm not going to treat the Chol HaMoed properly. That person doesn't have a share in the world to come. So now Rashi's introducing an added element here. Right? Let's say, in theory, somebody doesn't treat the actual holidays appropriately. Not Chol HaMoed. Doesn't treat the actual holidays appropriately. Does that person have a share in the world to come? No, so I don't know according to this. According to this, Rashi's saying that this mission is not alluding to anybody who doesn't treat holidays seriously. It's alluding to somebody who doesn't treat Chol HaMoed seriously. Why? Because you could make the argument that since Chol HaMoed needs extra strengthening, Chol HaMoed on its own is like, it's almost like it's weak because people don't treat it seriously. So I need an extra little push and an extra little warning that if you don't do this, ain lo chelek olam haba. But somebody who doesn't keep Yontif properly, does that automatically mean that you have no share in the world to come? There is a punishment, depending on what you do, if you're actually doing malacha, but there is a punishment that you would get, right? You could get killed. So maybe is that what the Mishnah is talking about? Is the Mishnah coming along and saying, here are things that are not actually punishable by explicit punishment in the Torah, right? And you could claim, oh, I don't get Chiyav Misa for this, I don't get Malkus for this, I don't get anything negative for this in terms of an explicit punishment. So the Mishnah comes along and says, here are things that are sort of on the periphery that we have to warn you. No, you might not get an explicit punishment, but you have no chelek in olam haba. But for the things that have explicit punishment, why does the Mishnah say, lo sirtzach, right? If you kill somebody, ain lo chelek olam haba.
Why is it?
Because it's obvious, right? Because it's explicit. So I don't need the Mishnah to come tell it to me. So maybe, right, if we start slowly analyzing each one of these, we can make the argument that these are things that need extra strengthening because the punishment themselves isn't explicit. These are things that maybe people don't treat with the proper respect, and because they don't have, you know, explicit backing in the psukim per se. And then that's why we need the extra strengthening. Yeah. Chol HaMoed versus. So the answer might be what I'm saying is that the actual Yomtif doesn't need the strengthening. So the way Rashi's understanding this Mishnah is that the Mishnah is only addressing things that need extra strengthening. It's not addressing things that we explicitly know about or explicitly would take would treat seriously on our own. These are things that we might not treat seriously on our own. That's how Rashi's understanding his methodology of understanding his Mishnah is assuming that we don't fully take, we don't take these things seriously.
So what about the law? Rashi says, even if you don't do it, you want to do it.
That's for Mevazeh. Right, it's not talking about Kachim. Right, so I'm extrapolating from Rashi to the other thing, so maybe you want to say Rashi's only saying about that one? I don't know, so let's keep going. So Rashi in the middle of the second line, HaMefer, She'eno Rotza Limolos Briso, Hafer, so he doesn't want to do a bris mila. So you're right. So what about that? That's pretty problematic. So some argue that it means you got a bris mila, but you're embarrassed of the bris mila, or you try to, I don't get too graphic or detailed here, but you try to make it like you don't have a bris mila. So that's not necessarily, again, doing something explicitly wrong within the psukim, but it's doing something that shows that you don't care about the values of the Jewish people. Then you have the concept of apikorsis. So now you'll argue to me, apikorsis is terrible. So what I'm trying to tell you, that these are things that we don't treat so seriously, I'm still not sure, because where in the pasuk explicitly does it say, in terms of what's defined as an apikoros and what's not defined as an apikoros, these things might get a little bit blurry, so we need to, again, extra strength this concept. And then Malbim Pnei Chaveiro Barabim, also you embarrass your friends, you can justify it. Again, maybe I'm rebuking them, maybe there's an excuse for this. Right, so either way, I'm not exactly sure if you want to agree with my thesis entirely of Rashi, but I think that there is a concept here that we're getting to things that are not treated with proper respect, that don't have their own strength in Psukim explicitly, like don't kill. And therefore, we need an extra little push to say, Ein lo chelek leolam haba. Okay, so we're going to see some more Mefarshim in a moment, but just to ask you one question, you can read the whole Rambam source number 6 on your own. What concept haven't we introduced yet? Ein lo chelek lamaba, but can I do tshuva? Of course, always. So the answer, at least for now, is yes. That's true, and the Rambam says that explicitly. Remember, the Mishnah itself didn't mention that. There are some girsas, there are some versions of the Mishnah that say alpa pi sheyesh lo tshuva Torah tshuva ma'isim tovim. So there's some indications that even if you do tshuva, it wouldn't be accepted, but that's not the way the Rambam learns it, and I believe most commentators here learn it based on the Yerushalmi. If you look at the bottom left, we'll just read the English, bottom left of source number 6, when does the statement that these individuals, all the way on the bottom, last paragraph, when does the statement that these individuals do not have a portion in the world to come apply? When they die without having repented. However, if such a person repents from his wicked deeds and dies as a Baal Tshuva, he will merit the world to come, for nothing can stand in the way of Tshuva. It's a general understanding that Tshuva can stop anything. I once gave a shiur saying that there might be some limits to that to some extent. But that's not for now. I do also want to point out one more thing in the Rambam before we take questions and move to the other side of the sheet. Go to the first paragraph in the Rambam, where same source number 6. Don't turn the page yet. Where the Rambam lists, first of all, these are other sins which are less severe than those mentioned. So just in context, the Rambam already listed a bunch of more severe sins in our Mishnah, which you don't get a share into the world to come. Nevertheless, our sages said that a person who frequently commits them will not receive a portion in the world to come. So notice, what did the Rambam just do? And then he lists are the things from our Mishnah. What did the Rambam just do? What did he assume in our Mishnah that's not explicit? What word did he add here? Frequently. Who said the Mishnah says frequently? Maybe I do it once and that's enough. The Rambam says is these are characteristics that if you do frequently, you have no share in the world to come. But if you do it once, you do it twice, okay, it's by accident. It's once when you're 20 and once when you're 70, okay, it's not such a big deal. Even if you didn't do tshuva, maybe you get punished for it, but it's not that you don't have a share to the world to come. So the Rambam adds the concept of frequently. We'll see that not all commentators in a second are going to agree with that. Can we hold questions? Because we're going to run off, unless it's essential. Okay, let's hold questions. Hold questions. Flip the page, source number 7, because we're going to quickly run out of time. So Rabbeinu Yonah here, I'll just point out two interesting things. So number one, skip the first paragraph. The second paragraph where he talks about embarrassment. It's a pretty interesting topic. If you embarrass your friend in public, you have no share in the world to come. And, out of all 5 of the things, this one is probably the most, relevant to Pirkei Avos, as was mentioned in the Rashbaz, but also probably the most problematic or the one we're in danger of committing the most. Because we live in social relationships, and oftentimes we're not careful of other people's feelings, and sometimes we embarrass people, especially, teachers have to keep this in mind. But even friends, you're in a scenario and you embarrass somebody, this is pretty serious. I'll add one more statement for you. What's the famous statement about Yehuda and Tamar? Goes a step further. What does it say about Yehuda and Tamar? Side coming, Maddie, and then how does the Gemara understand that case, right? She was willing to go die without admitting it. So the Gemara says that it's better for you to die rather than embarrass somebody in public, right? So that's directly related to this. We're taking embarrassing somebody in public very, very seriously. The question that we have to ask, though, is that meant to be taken literally? Right? So does that mean that is it Yaharig Vayavor? The question is, do we take that literally when it says it's better to die than to embarrass somebody? And as shocking as this might be, there are those that literally say that that's true. And right, so that could be an extreme outgrowth of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. But look at the Rabbeinu Yonah here in source number 7. Rabbeinu Yonah here and in the context in Shari Tshuva, where he talks about the Gemara that I just mentioned about it's better to go into a Kifshan Aish, takes it literally. And he says here, Malbim Pechaveo Barabim, source 7, second paragraph, Zehu told us Hadvarim Shiar Ben Val Yavor. Says that this is considered a concept that falls under the rubric of Yaharig Val Yavor, and it's part of Shvichus Damim. Right? So there's the main Shvichus Damim of killing is the literal murder. this is a parallel, a sort of a subgroup of murder by embarrassing somebody, and he explains it explicitly. If you go all the way to the second to last line, fourth word on the line, "V'tolda shvichas damim v'amalvim p'nei chaveru b'rabim shedamo boreach m'pnei aboshes," because your blood is running away because you are embarrassed, your face turns white. That's the concept of hamalbin, lavan. Your face is turning white because the blood is running away because you're embarrassed. So the Rabbeinu Yonah takes this literally, that this is really bad, no chelik in olam haba, and it is, in theory, yarek val yavor, it is a tolda of shvichos damim. The Meiri, I didn't give you this source here, says that you don't take it literally. He says that it's derech tzchos, it means to teach us a lesson, that it's really bad to embarrass somebody. And he's talking about whether or not I should actively die instead of embarrassing somebody. He says that's not true. You shouldn't die instead of embarrassing somebody. Life, literal life, is more important than embarrassment. But he wouldn't necessarily disagree with the fact that you have no chelek lam haba, because this is really bad. Right? Embarrassing somebody is really bad. And if you take, just for our purposes, in contrast to the Rambam, remember the Rambam we just pointed out said if you do it frequently. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, does this have to be, at least for this concept, does this have to be something you do frequently? Right? If I kill people frequently, I have no, it's not a problem. No, you're killing one time. This is a problem. This isn't just frequently. This is something that you do it once, then you ain lo chelek le'olam haba. That's how the Rabbeinu Yonah would learn this, presumably against the Rambam. Now, one more subtopic now. Sources 8 through 11. What does this mean? Hamigale panim b'torah shelo kahalacha. You explain the Torah not according to the halacha. So maybe it means somebody who's trying to trick the Torah, trying to change the Torah, teaching the wrong Torah, knows halacha is one way, but is poskening a different way for popularity purposes. Right? So somebody who's misinterpreting the Torah. But look at source number 8, fascinating Medrash Shmuel, that says hamigale panim b'torah shelo kahalacha, hakavana shemara perushim b'torah. Sheyatza hadin kepi perusho shelo kalacha shepasku chachmei haMishnah v'chachmei haGemara. It means somebody who's commenting on the Torah. He's writing a commentary on the Torah, and he says, "Look at this pasuk. This pasuk al pi pshat means something that's against what we call halacha." Right. So if we have an accepted halacha as A, and then somebody's writing a parish on the Torah and says that, okay, that's the halacha, but the pshat in the pasuk is different, that person ain't no chelek le'olam haba. What's the problem?
Rashbam.
Source number 9. Right, so we have a commentary that's a popular commentary. It was in the Mikros Gedolos. Notice, though, that when Art Scroll puts out the Mikros Gedolos, it takes out a bunch of the controversial things that the Rashbam says. But here's a few of them that he says. Number 9, he says, he's giving you an interpretation of why he gives this commentary to the Torah. Yadu v'yavinu yode seichel ki lo basi leferish halachos afa pishem ikar. He says, my point is not to teach you halachos. Kimoshe perashti b'bereishis. Ki mi yisur ha-mikros nishman ha-gadlos v'halachos. You can learn drashos from psukim, that's fine. But ani lefarish chutan shel mikros bati. I'm doing things to translate and to interpret the pashup shot of the Mishnah. The farish hadinin v'alachos lefi derech eretz. And I'm going to interpret it the way I think is the proper way of interpreting it. What's one example of where this controversy takes place? Look at source 10. When we wear tefillin, it says that it should be la'os al yadecha. He says, lefi omek pshuto yelecha lezikaron tamid ki'ilu kasav al yadecha. What does it mean that you should have it on your arm? So we learn that. What does that mean? You should wear tefillin. What does he say? What's the shot of the pasuk? You should remember it. You should think about it. Right? It should be zikaron tamid ki'ilu kasav al yadecha. It says if it was written on your arm, meaning I'm always going to see it, I'm always going to remember it. It means that I want you to think about this always. Source number 11, Ibn Ezra, who's another pshat perush, takes the Rashbam to task on this, doesn't quote him explicitly, but says, how can you say such a thing? Right? When we read, right, that this is what, it means tefillin. You can't say that that means you take it metaphorically that you should remember it. That's not how we understand the halacha. That's not how we understand the pshat of the pasuk. So according to the Medrash Shmuel's interpretation of our Mishnah, the Rashbam ein lo chelek lam haba, because he's interpreting halachic psukim not according to the halacha, which is a pretty fascinating thing. We're going to... What? Right, that would be, the accusation would be yes, right?
Well, it could be said that the Rashbam is saying the reason why you're wearing the Kohanah Gerah is to remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's what he's saying, though. I'm not sure what he's saying. Again, I'm not saying we should say that about the Rashbam, and I'm not saying that even the Medrash Shmuel would say that explicitly about the Rashbam, but I'm just showing you this is a controversial topic, right? There's a lot, and that's why, if you will, you know, the Art Scroll takes it out, because we don't want to say such things that are, you know, borderline heretical. I don't want to push people towards the too far towards the women's Yom Yom, so we're gonna stop here. I'll take questions if you want. We have a few more things that we could do. I'm not sure we'll come back to it. We might, if for your own edification. Source 12 ties this Mishnah to the Mishnah previously. Source number 13. Goes and makes the explanation that each one of these five things is actually representative of broader categories of concepts. So it's not just that these are five explicit things that are, you know, specific. These are five things that represent people who don't treat things seriously, that are holy, people who aren't careful about, you know, taking seriously things that are kadosh, etc., etc., etc. You can go through that if you want. We may or may not come back to it. Next week we'll bench. I'll take questions for those who aren't going to the Women's Yom Yom, but I do encourage everybody who's staying to go, or if you're not staying, you should go anyway. Should be some interesting stuff.